Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
No, and it really is today as we're recording this actually in the morning, which...
No.
I don't think there's any way...
Morning radio?
I could never go back and do that again.
Getting up at 3:45 is just like, I didn't do that this morning. We're recording at a more reasonable hour, but goodness, I even rolled over and went, can I just hit snooze again? No, I actually have to get up.
This would be like when the morning show would typically end, would be right around, because we're recording around 9 a.m. here on Thursday. We're going to be going through Richard Allen's, some of the I don't say testimony, but the interrogations, the interviews. Starts out interview, turns into interrogation, turns into accusation, and then turns into him mentally breaking down, eating his feces, and telling his loved ones that he thinks he might have done it so they'll let him out of this cage. That's how the process works. And at no point do the grown-ups in the room say, you know, maybe he didn't do it. He has not cracked on this, but, oh, now that we've tortured him enough and he's eating poop and running headfirst into walls, maybe that's it. I mean, he's also talking about that he killed his grandchild, which he doesn't have a grandchild either. So, so there's that. But the folks in Delphi, the authorities, you know, the grown-ups in Delphi want you to believe that these confessions are totally legit, because what else could they be? We've never had a chance to hear them until now because it's all been under seal. Gull said, no one can hear this. I imagine her kind of speaking like that too. Can't you hear it?
Yeah, it feels that way.
It's like no one. So it's out. We're going to hear it. And just being on paper versus audibly hearing it puts a hell of a lot more humanity behind it. Before I heard these and saw these, I was like, very convinced Richard Allen is innocent. After hearing and seeing these, there's no doubt in my mind Richard Allen is innocent. And I tell you, you know, a lot of people in Delphi are dug in on this, and they have been. A lot of them haven't heard these things or seen these things yet. I think it's time. I know everybody wants to have their villain locked away and feel like there's justice for Abby and Libby, but guess what? There's not. You don't have you don't have justice for your dead kids. You don't. You can sit in the corner and say, we got it. But if reality shows you don't, I think you might want to get back out there. I know it's hell. I cannot imagine being in a position like this and thinking, okay, we think we got it. The Yahoos with the badges said, we got the right guy. But they lied to you. The people you trusted lied to you in Delphi. And that's even more sickening, that they went down this road and then led those families down this road. It's not the fault of the families. It's not the fault of the victims' families and the people who are mourning the loss of these kids. But guys, it's time to wake up and go, let's find the real killer. He might be dead. I'll tell you that.
I was just going to say, isn't he dead?
He might be dead in a grave with the last name Logan on it. I don't know. But there's a hell of a lot more evidence pointing to that guy and the guy that's incarcerated for child porn and that was planning on meeting one of the girls that day under the bridge near Ron Logan's property. But he had nothing to do with it. It's a CBS guy. So we're going to break this down. We're going to start out kind of from the top and work our way forward. This is going to be a two episode. You know, Murder in the Morning is always two episodes, but we're going to make this whole thing into the two episodes. We're going to start with the police interrogation, the initial one, work to the second, and then we're going to get to the jailhouse calls, because I think it's important to do this in chronological order so you can see the psychological breakdown of Rick Allen. So
it's a hard watch.
It is.
I'll give you that.
It is. But it's very, if you're justice oriented, this is a case to get behind, because this is insane. The sad part is, by the time everybody's kicking and screaming, maybe gets him a new trial and maybe eventually gets him free, I don't know how much left of Rick Allen we're going to have mentally. Because this guy has gone to hell and back, and it certainly is going to leave its everlasting mark on him. It already has. It's a matter now of like how much can he pull out of that if there's enough kicking and screaming from all of us saying, this is BS. Wake the F up, people. All right, here we go. This is his initial interrogation. This piece... it's about a minute 24, and just note his demeanor, note how he is, note his personality, note his liveliness, because that eventually does go away. Let's take a look.
Good luck finding anything that points in that direction. I mean, it's not me. You're not going to make me believe it's me. You're not going to find anything that ties me to those murders, so I'm not really that concerned. You know, you went from trying to, I don't know what you want to say, get my trust and then slowly lure me into telling you I killed somebody and I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't know where this changed course. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Really not. I just want you to put yourself in the situation where we as police officers are looking at all the evidence that we have and what you've told us right now. Okay. Okay, not trying to give you a hard time. Just want to make sure that we get everything taken care of here. That's why we wanted to look at the things that we wanted to look at. And that's not going to happen now. I mean, like I said, we're done here. So arrest me or take me home. I understand. So arrest me or take me home. I'm done. These are stupid. Okay. So that day, this is fun. So on that day, you went out there on the bridge, and that you were wearing the same clothing that basically the same clothing that this person here is wearing. That's what you think. I don't know how you can tell that that's a black Carhartt coat, which is what I told you, a black or blue Carhartt coat. Blue jeans.
And I should note, if you want to have the full context of this, you can watch the entire interrogation. That's on the channel, too. Because they go for like 30 minutes, like asking him, like, you know, what were you wearing that day? What, you know, and none of it lines up. I mean, the fact that he was wearing a Carhartt coat and blue jeans on a hiking trail in Indiana in February, I believe it was. I'm going to guess most of the guys were probably wearing that on that trail.
Incredibly common sitting here in Wisconsin. If you go to, say, Sam's Club, we don't have a Costco where I live, you see Carhartt everywhere. That's almost the, it's between Carhartt and North Face and Columbia. Those are the three jackets you see in the winter.
Yeah.
It's just like a uniform. It's a Midwest uniform. That's what you're going to see.
Yeah. I mean, in you will see that in any area that's like this, any rural area, especially, is just,
if you have a Fleet Farm, if you have, any of those stores,
if you have an Atwoods, a Fleet Farm, anything of that nature. Tractor Supply.
I was just going to say that.
This is the uniform. It is what it is. I don't think it proves a whole hell of a lot. And they can't really prove anything that it's the one he's wearing, because the damn image is so grainy. It doesn't really look like Rick Allen. They're going to tell him that they have experts. Experts have determined that that is you in that bridge guy picture. They're lying to him. But they can do that. That's how it works in the U.S. You can lie to people when you're interrogating them to try and get them to say something else. Even if they're completely innocent, then you get this. You get complete denial and being offended, because it's insane if you didn't do it. You know what you get from guilty people? You get some pauses. You get some, oh, shits. You get none of that with Richard Allen. He's frustrated at this point because they keep trying to lure him to say something he didn't do. And he just keeps saying, I didn't do it. Here's another clip from that very same interrogation.
I guess, like I said, at the point that you think I might have actually done this, then if you want to get a warrant, search my house, my car, my orifices or whatever, that's fine. I mean, I don't mind you looking at my phone or whatever, but, like, yeah. I don't think there's no more. I guess my point is I don't think you're just asking.
Sure.
Right. I'm just asking. I understand that. Mm-hmm. So. It is what it is, and we sure. have asked. So, yeah, I'm not going to have police have going through my house and stuff. That's just not
that's fine. Mm-hmm.
News leaks and somebody here. I just don't need that kind of.
Well, we're trying to keep this very discreet because we do understand what you're talking about. It came out of our Buick, which is not my life.
I understand.
So, you know, we're not interested in making your life difficult or anything like that. We're trying to get these things figured out.
Sure.
Get taken care of. So,
sure.
With that, so you said you would let us look at the phone?
Sure.
Okay, great. And you help us get to the other phone, too?
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, all right. So, let me go back to that form, and we'll get this phone back to our team, which can do that. So, I covered this with you. And what kind of phone is it? Can you tell?
It's a Google something or other. It's a Google...
Pixel, okay. It's a white phone, okay. And what is the passcode?
20-4545.
Okay. All right, great. So I read this to you. So if you have any questions, do you have any questions about your rights about being able to do this? We just need your signature to verify that you understood everything.
So that's another piece of that right there. Giving his password out, everything, nothing to hide. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's not pulling a Stefan Soto or Stefan Stearns, excuse me, and, you know, destroying the phone, thinking that would keep people from looking at it. I was interrogated once. I don't know if you were, I think you weren't working for the radio station at the time, but we had a disco dance that we always did every year.
Yeah. I've been to that a few times.
Yeah.
I wore Michael Jackson that one year. It was great.
Yes, you did. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, absolutely. But one of our sleazy salespeople stole some money. This was for a charity gig. So the police got involved.
Yeah.
Well, anybody who entered our broadcast building over the weekend needed to be questioned. And I had stopped into work.
Yeah.
And this cash box had been sitting there. It was going to be taken to the bank on Monday. We had the dance on a Friday. And so anybody who entered the building got questioned. And it was the worst hour of sitting in a room, and they're just asking me all kinds of questions about what I do in my personal time. It was very weird. And the salesperson finally fessed up. So none of us should have gone through that, mm-hmm. but it was a weird, like they were questioning what I had done before I even got to the station. Why did I stop in? And I said, well, I had to pick up something I forgot mm-hmm. in such a rush to leave.
Yeah.
To get to the dance, I forgot some stuff that I needed over the weekend. And it was just like, I was guilty from the second I sat down, and I didn't do it.
Yeah. I'm but horrible at that.
Like they were trying to trap me.
I'm when I was a kid and when I get accused of shit, I would be the one that looked guilty, but didn't do it.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
I've always been that person. I still can be that person because I when I'm watching Rick Allen here, I can feel what he's going through. I mean, on a very small level compared to being, compared to being a murderer or being called a murderer. But I can feel that because it is a huge pet peeve of mine being accused of something that I did not do or did not say, or didn't had nothing, or it's like, especially when it's like the opposite of who you are or what you would do. It's offensive. And I don't get offended by much other than like that. Yeah. I don't, because it's, I think it's a choice to be offended. But when you're being accused of something that's like, there's no way in hell I would even think of doing this. Mm-hmm. And I don't like people having the wrong perception of me. It's not that I'm trying to, you know, control the script or make people think I'm something I'm not. I just want them to know who I actually am. And it's like, I'm not what you're saying I am over here. And I feel like that's what Richard Allen is going through right now. I've never been interrogated for anything other than like, you know, when you're a kid, did you do that? You must have done, like, I would get into arguments with my parents for hours. They didn't know how to de-escalate anything. It was always, let's take a step up till we're all screaming at each other and you're so frustrated you're slamming your bed and lifting it up on the floor and making, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
That's not fun at all.
I got some therapy bills for that stuff. To me, that's one of the worst things, is being accused of something you did not do. Especially when you're there and you're like, how can I help? Like, what happened to these people is horrible. And that's all this guy has done this whole time from the beginning. When they were calling
very
for
forthcoming.
Yeah. When they were calling for people at the beginning, who was out there? He went in and talked, told them everything that he knew. And then 6 years later, they decide, oh, shit. Well, we missed out on Keegan Klein. We missed out on Ron Logan. He's dead now. And there's those other people here that seem to really have some stuff. But we don't want to go after any of them, despite the mountains of evidence. Let's go after CVS guy, because we're getting pressure that we haven't solved this yet.
Yeah.
What I wonder about these guys, these investigators, is, are they patsies in all of this, where they believe they're doing their job to the best of their ability? I mean, my question is, who's feeding these guys the information that this is so solid evidence and the science on this bullet is so solid? Do they actually believe that? And they are simply, you know, doing their job. Like, this is solid. This is our guy. You got to get him. And they're following orders, basically, thinking they're doing the right thing. Is there someone above them saying that? And who and why? Or are these guys part of that, and they know that what they're saying is literally BS, and they're just going along with it because they're embarrassed too. These are investigators on this case that have not yet solved it, despite the mountains of evidence in front of them for other people, which again doesn't make any sense. You got to look up this chain, and that chain is going to lead to someone somewhere, or multiple people somewhere in that state, likely.
Feels like they screwed up somewhere, and there's just layer after layer of cover up, and it's so thick right now that I don't know that they can unravel it.
They're either covering for their egos, or they're covering for someone else, and they may not even know it. Because you go to the conspiracy level of, like, that's a lot of people for a conspiracy. Conspiracies in general fall apart because of that sole principle. And that's why I don't believe most conspiracies. But if the people you have involved in your conspiracy don't know that they're part of covering up a conspiracy, you can involve more people if you've convinced them that they are doing what is right and they're doing the right thing. That's what I wonder about this. Let's watch another one. This is them continuing to interrogate Richard Allen on their first attempt.
Tell me what you would do differently if you were in our situation. You had this information. How would you react? What would you do? You do the same thing that we were doing right now.
What information is it that you have?
We have.
You have that I was out there, and I told you from the very beginning that I was out there.
Yes, you did.
I didn't hide it.
Did you see this guy?
I didn't know.
Okay.
I told you. I see the only person that I clearly remember seeing. That, and this isn't from the day, I mean, this is the next day. The only people or person that came into my mind were those three girls that I seen.
Richard, we're not upset with you, not mad at you, anything like that. We're just trying to get to the bottom of this, okay? No, I'm not here to give you a hard time. I'm just here to try to get the situation straightened out. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is simply get to the truth. What would help us get to the truth is being able to
look inside of some of the things you're talking about, okay? And I get that, okay? And maybe on the other side of things, sure. And on the other side of things, if I thought I had something that was going to help you, that would, you know, what do I have that's going to help you? Okay. Well, I have some questions we can go through here, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So. Wow. There. Notice in this. In the, there's two interrogations we're looking at here. This is still the first one. This is the initial. This is technically the second one because the first one he went in and just gave information back when the girls died. So this is like 6 years later when this one is happening. And the only thing they're bringing to him in this is the bridge guy photo. And I'm just going to pull this up over here. I'm going to put it into the other screen so we can see it a little bit better. And this is all information that they had. This is not like something they discovered later after the fact. Let me go over to... As I can find my mouse again. Let's go over here to this. We can see it a little bit better. I'm convinced Ron Logan is the real bridge guy. Because what you have here in the upper quadrants of the photo, the top layer is the bridge guy photo. And what you have here in the bottom, if you're looking at this and watching this on YouTube, you can see this. If you're listening on the podcast, obviously you can't see it. So I'll do my best to describe, is Ron Logan. I mean, side by side.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You know, and here's an, if you've ever known anybody who works in physical therapy and understands a person's gait, mm-hmm. and meaning how they walk, their demeanor.
Yeah.
Not their demeanor, but how they hold themselves when they walk.
Yeah.
We all walk a certain way.
Yeah.
And some people like to stick a hand in their pocket. Some people bend their arm a certain way. Their foot moves a certain way. In the picture that you showed, you can absolutely see that the man in the bridge video was holding his arm in a certain way. And mm-hmm. then you show pictures of Logan.
Yeah.
And he holds his arm a certain way.
Yeah.
Like I said, we all walk a way that's comfortable for our bodies. And it's very similar from, it's just like your signature. It doesn't vary much.
No. I mean, look at his arms, especially in the left picture. I mean, it is.
The bend is the same in the elbow.
It's the same. I mean, so Delphi investigators had all of this. And they passed on all of this, saying, oh, you know, this is nothing. This is, you know, I can't, you know. FBI came in and said, I think even, this is
even,
your guy.
You know, you just moved the picture, but yeah. Even the way his knee picks up as he's taking a step.
Oh, yeah.
They're identical. They are fucking identical.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So they had all that, and they still said, nope. Why? I don't know. There's no reason to be covering for Ron Logan. He wasn't like the most upstanding citizen. He's been arrested for abuse and beating a girlfriend and a myriad of other things. I mean, his ex-girlfriend has been on camera, who he hit over the head with a wrench.
Yes.
She said that he seemed to have this weird propensity for little kids, too. And that there was a little girl down the road that I think she bought a horse from him, if I'm remembering correctly. And she basically described it in more words or less that he was really a bit too touchy feely about it. And, yeah. and he was like, well, you know, it's just, you know, like predators do, where it's like, it's just that your eyes, you know, they just gaslights people. That's what those sick Fs do. And you got that. And there is, and I don't have it in front of me, but I believe there was something with this involving him and horses and I don't know if it involves the girls directly, but I know there's something about that where it was this luring type thing that he had going on. FBI goes in, they raid his property. They go in and look for everything. They go through, we don't know exactly what they found because once they got done and they handed it over to a silver on a silver platter to the Delphi investigators, they kicked the FBI out. Said, we got it from here, buckos. And then nobody ever saw the report. We don't know what's on it.
Just doesn't feel right.
And if there's nothing on it, you'd probably release it. You'd probably be like, oh, see, here's, you know, there's nothing to see here. We thought we had a really solid lead and this sucks. You know, it was a red herring. And that does happen sometimes. But I'm going to say in this case, it's not a red herring. The guy made up a fake alibi before anyone even knew the girls were dead. And on his property, he's telling his friend, hey, say we went to the pet store out of town. You drove me there because he couldn't drive because, oh, yeah, he lost his license, too. So, like I said, super upstanding guy, not really quite understanding why anyone would cover for him, because I don't believe that there was much of a reason. I think he was something, I'm going to guess there's something to do with him luring. And this is a ring of some sort. There's something about it. I don't know. And I do believe he's involved. He's dead. Not going to be remotely surprised if Keegan Klein is involved. He's a pathological liar, as described by many people, and a child predator, and was supposed to meet with the girls that day, right there, right by Ron Logan's property, under the bridge, communicating with her directly, luring him, like to catch a predator style. But he's not. They didn't arrest him until like 3 years later on unrelated charges. There's nothing to see there, right? It's Richard Allen. That's who it must be. Who's being covered for? Who is it? Why is it? Or what group? There's something dark going on here. Very dark. I think beyond what any of us have expected the scope of it to be. Because there's just, it keeps going. It keeps going and going and going. Here's one more from that initial interrogation. Let's take a look.
I don't want to be included to begin with. So until the point that you have something that tells you that I did this and you want to subpoena or arrest me or something, I've got nothing to worry about. So I'm not real concerned here, but your attitudes towards me have definitely changed, and I don't like the fact that, you know, it feels more like I'm being interrogated. And so then you're going to tell me that you've already talked to my wife and my daughter and stuff. Like, how straightforward is that, you know?
Well, let's turn everything around. Tell me what you would do differently if you were in our situation. You had this information. How would you?
Just utter manipulation, yeah. BS. Tell me what you would do. So eventually, keep in mind, all they have that they're showing him at this point anyway, because I don't think they have anything else. I think they're really on a fishing expedition here, trying to get something out of him. And they realize the bridge guy thing, he's not budging. He has, and they know there's other evidence that would point otherwise, that he's not the bridge guy. But so conveniently, that picture of Ron Logan, not admissible in court. They didn't admit nothing third party. The jury never heard a single thing about Ron Logan, Keegan Klein, or any of the other idiots in this case that have, you know, a lot of dirt on them at the very least. None of that is heard. So the jury is unaware that there's another photo of another guy that looks exactly like Bridge Guy. Judge Gull said, we can't put that in there.
Why?
Again, so is Gull part of the conspiracy, or is Gull following orders? Because that would take it higher than like your local police. That would take it somewhere higher in the state. And I think that's where ultimately the roulette ball will drop, if we ever get there. So none of that is able to be admissible. So they're like, okay, what? This is my conjecture. He's not admitting anything about the bridge guy, not saying he is the bridge guy, nothing there. What else do we got? So they go in, they raid his home 6 years later. They find pretty much nothing. They check all his digital devices. He willingly gives them to them. He has no history of anything questionable. He doesn't have, there's nothing. There's no digital footprint. There's no physical footprint. There's absolutely nothing. But when you're going to raid someone's home on suspicion of murder, you're going to take weapons out of that home too, whether they have anything to do with the crime or not.
A lot of people in the Midwest have weapons.
Yeah. So I would guess probably 9 out of 10 people in that area have weapons, mm-hmm. weapons that would probably be able to fit a bullet that suddenly magically was found at the crime scene way back when. And maybe this bullet was found. I would imagine if you look at chain of evidence, it's probably documentation that shows that this bullet was originally found at the crime scene. A bullet. And that's key. Because they go through his house between this interview and the next one we're about to watch, and they confiscate his guns. And his gun is now in their possession. So they're looking at it. This is my conjecture.
Okay.
They got that bullet. It's over here. And they think, oh, well, this bullet would fit that gun. We did find it at the scene, even though a gun was not used in this crime. And they think, okay, well, it wasn't fired, so we can't, like, fire it, which would actually put some solid ballistic markings on that bullet.
Correct.
But if you just rack it, you get something, but it's very inconclusive. It's not very admissible in court because it's...
doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. I mean, there's so many ways that that is not going to leave a solid marking on it. There's so many ways that other weapons could look like the other one. There's a gazillion ways that that is not a very solid science. But these guys are talking to him about it like it's like there's the moon in the sky. You can't deny the moon's in the sky. That's not the moon. That's a star over there, dudes. And they say that the bullet that they have in that evidence matches a marking on Richard Allen's gun if you put a bullet in and racked it and the bullet comes out. So their thought process is, and this is, again, my conjecture on this unsolved mystery. I think they took the bullet from evidence, racked it through his gun, took it out, took another bullet from his house that also does fit that gun, racked it through and said, look, we took a bullet from your house and it happens to match the same one over here. And look at the patterns on it. It's exactly the same. I think they made the evidence up because they didn't have anything. I think they took the bullet in evidence, racked it through his gun, so it made that slight marking, took a second bullet, racked it through the gun, so it made a similar marking, and said, look, this one's been in evidence all these years. How could this possibly match the one that we racked through your gun that we just racked through it? Well, when you do them back to back, no one's really going to know if you racked it right now or if it was racked to that gun 6 years ago. I think that's the bullet story. I think it's they found that bullet. They couldn't connect it to anything. And it probably just fell out of the pocket of somebody or something when you had 40 plus officers wandering around the crime scene, contaminating it left and right. I think your odds are there that that's where your bullet came from. And it just happened that, yeah, he has a gun that fits that bullet and that brand, which, again, not that crazy to happen in this area of the country or many areas of the country. And you go to most people who have a gun of a certain type, you're probably going to find a lot of similar bullets,
yep.
Similar brands, same brands. It's not crazy. It's a smaller town. There's probably not a ton of variety and options. And I think that's where the bullet came from. That's me. I think it's bullshit. I believe they found it. I believe they manipulated it to make it look like it was because they didn't have anything. And I mean, they thought they couldn't, you know, sell this on the bridge guy picture alone. But the bullet is the only thing that they got him on. As the that's why he was convicted. It's insane. It's insane. So they get his wife worked up. They bring her and they convince her that, you know, he's this bridge guy and the bullet is undeniable proof and undeniable evidence and no one can argue it. And if you don't know anything about ballistics or anything, you're going to believe it. These are the police. you want to think that they're doing the right thing. And they're telling her that her husband has this bullet that came from his gun and it was at the crime scene. Then they bring her in to Rick Allen to try and manipulate him with the BS that they just fed her.
They want me to tell them that I did it. And I'm not going to. I'm not going to admit to something that I didn't do. How stupid is that? I don't care what they do to me. I'm not going to admit to doing something I had nothing to do with. And I'm not going to try to explain something I can't explain. Because I don't know. You tell me, because I don't know. I just know that I never even carried the gun unless we were going mushroom hunting, tromping through the woods, or fishing along the river. That's the only time I even carried it, for the most part. I never even would have... Hell, I haven't carried my gun in... I don't even remember a time when I used to carry it. I mean, other than going fishing, like if we were going night fishing.
This is a crime circus presentation.
What happened to Bullet get out there, honey? I can't understand that.
I told you, I can't either, huh?
And they didn't at the time, but I just
There's
explained
two explanations. It. One is, the bullet didn't come from my gun.
It did, though, honey. The ballistics on it.
I get that. Then it didn't come from a murder scene. I don't know what else to say. I get that. I get what they're saying. What I'm telling you is, if that bullet came from my gun, there's no way it was found with their investigation for the murders. There's no way. I can't explain something I have no answer for.
Here's another one.
You're this evil monster that was just hunting for two teenage girls so you could just go down there and terrorize them and kill them. And that's not true. Is it?
I told you.
You and I both know that that's not true. You and I both know what happened. The evidence clearly is indicating. Now, there's some missing pieces, and I'm going to find those missing pieces.
Okay.
And it would be easier if you helped me find those missing pieces.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I did something I didn't do.
I don't want you to. I told you that.
That's exactly what you want me to do. No. What else would you want me to do but tell you I did it? And I'm not going to, because I didn't. I've never been around those two girls in my life.
You were on the trail that day.
I was on the trail that day, and I told you that.
And they walked right by you, according to witnesses.
No, they didn't. I never even seen them. Like, I think I'm going to see somebody if they walk past me. Am I not? I'm not saying somebody didn't see me that I didn't see. All I'm telling you is, I never seen those two girls.
And why didn't you report this day one?
Report what?
That you were out there and you saw these two girls, you were in the area.
The very day that they came out and said that they wanted anybody who might have been out there to come in.
He came in.
He did. He did.
You moron.
They're gaslighting him.
I love this idiot detective's voice. Hey, we know that you did it. The evidence doesn't lie. I tell you, it doesn't lie. You know who else doesn't lie? My wife. Even though I know she was out last night at the Applebee's with my brother, Siegfried. And Siegfried said he doesn't like girls, but I swear to God he does. And you know what happened? They got a blooming onion.
Yeah, they're working him.
It's all gaslighting.
All of it. They're starting to psychologically get into his head, like make him think that he didn't do what he did.
Well, I think they're trying to get him to like second guess, not that he did it, because clearly he knows that he didn't do it at this moment in time.
Yeah, but he knows that he told them he was present.
Yes. And it's funny how they're always coming at him like it's a secret. Like, I told you idiots I was there. I showed you where I parked. They're like, we got a, and there's other parts of this room. Here, Rick, we got a picture of your car. I told you I parked there.
Right.
What's your point?
You know? Feels like a really bad episode of Psych.
It does. Here's a question. Why do they have a picture of his car parked there? Why would anyone have a picture of a car parked there? At the time, before anyone knew a crime was committed, and he was gone by the time anybody figured this out, why would anyone have a picture of his car at the scene?
Was it from security footage?
Maybe that's the answer. I'm going to go with that.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I think it might have been security footage. That's probably what the answer is.
Man, if it wasn't, though.
I think that's it. I think that was just me throwing conjecture out there, not realizing that there's an answer to that. I hope that's the answer.
Boy, I hope so, too.
Here's Officer Matlock continuing to torture Rick Allen and his wife.
I don't know how to explain something that isn't possible. But I know, this is what I do know. I know that no bullet from my gun was connected with a murder in any way, shape, or form. And there's no way a bullet from my gun would have been near Abby and Libby's murder or anything else, because I never even seen those girls. Period. And I didn't even have my gun that day. So that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to make that any clearer. I don't know how to make that any clearer. I don't know how to make somebody understand. I get what he's saying. I don't have a way to explain it.
And they're like, there's a witness that said it was you out there.
Dear, I don't
and
know
what... I'm like, how did they know it was you? So they said they showed her a picture. And I'm like, of course you were out there.
If they seen me out there, they seen me out there, dear. And I told
were
them...
Were you on the bridge?
I told them I was on the bridge. I went out to the first trestle.
Oh, okay.
That first
I
thing...
I don't remember that, you telling me that. I told you weren't on it, but I didn't.
It doesn't, hon, you're not in any trouble. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything.
Tell him, right?
Huh?
I didn't know you were on it. I'm sorry.
Well, don't worry about it.
You told me you weren't, so I just was.
No, I told you that I walked.
And that's just a pure moment of frustration, I think, there. Because you're talking about, what did he say 6 years ago when he went out for a walk? And she doesn't remember him telling her that he went out to a trail. Because if you go out to this place regularly, you're going to say, I'm going out there for a walk. You're not necessarily recounting every step of where you're going. And if you're out there, and if she misremembers that, that's completely normal.
Especially that long ago.
Especially that long ago.
Jeez. And it's I can't even tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, Tony.
And what does that have to do with a murder? A wife and a husband misremembering what one told the other. There's a lot of murderers out there if we're going to take that as being solid evidence against anything. Here's one more from the interrogation, and then we'll go to the phone calls in our next segment.
Right fucking here, Rick.
You got one piece of evidence.
I got multiple
pieces.
Multiple. I'm not showing you my whole fucking hand here.
I don't care. I'm showing you I'm done talking.
Now you're going to drag your fucking wife and your daughter through this because you're too fucking bullheaded to get out in front of this and admit that you made a mistake. And whatever the fuck happened out there, we'll never fucking know because you're too big of a fucking... Go ahead.
So tell you I did something...
Tell me
that
the truth.
I do.
The truth, Rick. I don't want to know.
I told you the truth, and you don't want to hear it.
The evidence tells me otherwise. The evidence clearly indicates you're involved.
The evidence.
No, it doesn't. It fucking does.
It doesn't. I'm telling you that there is no way that a bullet from my gun was used in these murders.
And I'm telling you that we had this fucking round on February 14th, 2017. It's been secured in a fucking laboratory. And we've tested other guns that people that we...
I understand what you're saying.
I want her to hear this,
Rick. I understand what you're saying. What I'm telling you is I can't explain something I don't understand.
Oh, the scientists explained it for you. The lab analysis of analysts have explained that for you. They're saying that this round, without a doubt, came from your gun.
Then you've taken it from somewhere else then. Because it's not possible.
And they happen to be in possession of his gun when suddenly this magical piece of evidence comes to light. And what if he did say, yeah, I did carry my gun when I went for a walk. Oh, yeah, maybe a brown dropped. Does that make him a murderer?
No.
Dropped on a trail. And a murder happened to end up taking place there. There's sticks. There's all sorts of things on that trail. Maybe there was a bubble yum wrapper. Did you have the purple bubble yum that day, Rick? Were you enjoying the grape sensations of the bubble yum across your tongue? I want to see your tongue, Rick. Show me your tongue. This kind of seems to be where this asshole is going.
Well, does he really need to have it escalated to that level too?
Yeah.
It feels really contrived.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think they get to play Law and Order very often in Delphi. So I think it was like, oh, wow, it's showtime. We got to really put ourselves on for this. And, you overextend yourself sometimes. You overact and it's like, oh, got to pull that back a little bit when you see it on camera. So I was doing an air check on the investor, like, yeah, you're a little over the top on this. It just doesn't quite seem like, it feels like you're acting, you're playing the role of an investigator. You're not being an investigator. Be an investigator. Own it. Own it. You can do it. You're a star.
Man.
We have the phone calls next. And those to me are some of the most heartbreaking. We're going to hear conversations between Rick Allen and his wife and his mom, and you're going to hear him slowly deteriorate as the wheels of justice in Delphi seem to not have a stop button. And nobody seems to be able to say, this doesn't make any sense. We're just going to keep going. We're just going to keep torturing this man. That's coming up next. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts, or if you're watching this on YouTube, press subscribe. Let us know in the comments what your thoughts are on this huge mess that is conviction and the unjust treatment and unjust conviction of an innocent man, Richard Allen.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.